You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where we mix the art of appraising with a splash of insight and a dash of humor. Whether you're a trainee, a seasoned pro, or just curious about the world of appraising, this is your place to be. So grab your favorite brew, sit back, and join us for tips, stories, and expert advice that'll help you grow your appraisal business. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Today's guest is Kristen Goss. She is the host of The Civility Wins, the Family Law Edition podcast, and we're going to do a co-podcast today. So, Kristen, go ahead if you want to introduce your podcast.
Yes. Nice seeing you, Dan. Hi, everyone. I'm Kristen Goss. As Dan stated earlier, I am a family law attorney and estate planning attorney. I have offices in Fort Lauderdale and Boca Raton, Florida. And I am the owner of KWG, Family Legal and Mediation Services. We are your knowledgeable, warm, and gracious attorneys.
Nice intro. So how's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. I love the blue on blue here with your shirt.
Well, thank you. I have to turn the lights off because it's too bright in my office here. But yeah, it's all trial and error with the podcast. So anyway, so tell me about yourself. You know, what's how long you've been in law, you know, why do you focus on family law, and a little bit about yourself?
Awesome. So I'm originally from Fort Lauderdale, and I developed a love for family law actually because of my parents. My dad was a pastor and my mom was a social worker. And so growing up, I observed them helping families. And that's pretty much it on the family law is that emotional side to the law, but I also am a rules, policies, procedures person. So family law is what really just made sense. And I have the love of helping families, from observing my parents growing up and what they did and how they helped families.
Cool.
And how about you?
Oh, about me?
Yeah.
I've been an appraiser in South Florida for over 20 years. I'm originally from New York, like everybody else down here. And I just love real estate. I really like how I fell into appraising. I like the analysis portion of appraising. I like the mix where I get to meet people, different people every day. But I also like the fact that maybe it's a challenging job, it's off my desk tomorrow and I can focus on the next job. So it's a lot of, it's a lot of turnover, and which I really like. I don't like staying on one assignment for like weeks at a time or something like that. So I absolutely love being an appraiser.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I live outside of Fort Lauderdale. I've been married for over 20 years. We have three kids, 18, 16, 10, which keeps our life very, very full. And how about you? Are you married?
Yeah.
I know you said you were married and have kids too.
Yeah. I actually got married after my first semester of law school at 23. So I'm telling my age here a little bit, but been married over 16 years. And we have three girls, ages 12, 9, and 3. And I've been practicing law over 10 years.
Nice. And it's going well for you so far?
Yes, it's going wonderful. Love being on my own. I love the flexibility, love being able to have what they call work-life balance, because as you know, being a parent of children, there's so much going on outside of your own business, and you want to just be there and be in the know and be with your children every aspect of, you know, in every aspect of their lives, whether it's their activities, their school, whatever they have going on, and be able to do what you have to do and what you love at the same time.
That work-life balance is a funny statement, because there's no such thing. It's like your life is just so full with everything. Everything collides with each other. It's not like, oh, I'm going to turn my work hat off and go ahead and be with my family right now. It never works like that. It's always like, it seems like it's that's everything's true. Intertwined. So that work-life balance is funny when people say that.
It's funny you say that, because I was talking to someone the other day and they're like, what does your typical day look like? And I said, well, I don't think you want to see my calendar, because I equate it to a chaotic organization. I think that would be the best way to describe it. So I can completely relate to you in that respect. It's like,
I used to be, you know, like that, but it's like, you can't, it's impossible to, you'd go crazy if you try and separate the two, mm-hmm. your life. It's hard for me, at least. Mm-hmm. So regarding the balance part, what do you like to do for fun? What's your favorite thing to do for fun?
I am really a chill person. Honestly, I am a homebody, so I'm constantly on the go, networking meetings, business meetings, meeting with clients, doing the legal work, you know, doing things with the kids. So when I have that time to just do nothing, I take full advantage of that. And I am just home. I could watch a good Netflix movie or documentary, sit on the bed, eating, you know, popcorn and just relaxing, not doing anything.
Cool. What series are you watching now?
I just watched, I forgot the name of it. It was a very crazy, you know, real life story. What was she? She was like a corrections officer that fell in love with one of the inmates. And they had like this 2-year long relationship going on. And like, it was an hour and a half long documentary. And like, pretty much the entire documentary was like about their relationship and like the recordings of the phone conversations that they had. And to make a long story short, she, you know, was at the top of her game. Everybody looked to her for, you know, advice and, you know, things in the, you know, in the jail. And it was her last day. She was retiring. She was in her 50s. The inmate was in his 30s. And she leaves, and there's a video of her walking out, and then the inmate right behind her, and they get in the police car. She puts him in the back seat, she's in the front, and they realize, like, you know, a couple of hours later, oh, this inmate is gone. Oh, have you seen the corrections officer? Oh, they're both gone. And there's like a 10-day hunt for them. They pretty much wanted to just be together and have a life together, I guess. But sad story, at the end, they were caught, and like the inmate was driving and like, police were chasing him, and they ended up crashing in the car. And I don't know if she must have had like a gun in her hand. And there's like this recording of a gun going off. I guess the airbags were about to like go off. I don't know if I think it was an accidental shot, but she shot herself and ended up dying. Yes.
Well, I hope nobody just started listening to this podcast and watching that the first episode. I hope. Sorry, spoiler alert for those listeners. Oh, man. So, you know, a part of the podcast, I want to make it very chill as well, which is Brews, which is like, listen, I like to have a drink and relax too. So What do you like to do? You like to indulge when you're watching your Netflix shows? Do you like to drink a beer? Do you like to drink wine? What's your favorite? What's your favorite beverage?
Honestly, you're going to be like, oh, Kristen is so boring. My favorite beverage is coffee. I can drink coffee when I wake up. I can drink coffee for a snack. I could drink coffee for lunch. I could drink coffee before I go to bed. And it's soothing to me.
Well, that's a lot healthier than alcohol. So I'm trying this mushroom coffee for the first time. Somebody gave me this mushroom coffee. So I've been trying that. So we'll see how that goes.
Does it taste good?
It tastes like coffee, but it's supposed to be better for you. I really have no idea. So it's not bad.
Isn't that supposed to also help with your, like, to lose weight or something? Is it like?
I think it's for like brain fog and gives you energy. I really don't know. It's supposedly mushrooms. I have no idea. But we'll see. We'll see how it works out. If it helps me, be more efficient, then I'll drink it every day. All right. So let's get into it. Do you want to know anything else about me? Anything else? Are we good? Do you want to get into it now?
I do. I have a lot of questions for you as far as.
Sure. Like, let's go back and forth. We can go back and forth. You can ask me one. I'll ask you one and we can just see how it goes. This is my first joint podcast or my third podcast. So I'm game for whatever. We'll see what works out. People like it. They like it. So.
Perfect.
All right, cool. So at least my audience is mostly appraisers, real estate appraisers. So. Some of them may not know about the divorce process. So is there like a quick summary of the divorce process and, you know, where the appraiser or an appraiser may fit into that process, if at all? I think that's what my listeners would really like to know about that process.
Okay. So there's no one size fits all for divorce. There are several avenues that someone can take. They could do the traditional that most people know about. You file in court. And so if you're filing, then the other side has to get served. And there's a whole procedure that where people go through that. Typically, when it's the traditional filing, it could take 6 months on average. It could take 3 years. Depends on how at odds the couple is and, you know, what other issues have to be addressed. In regards to the appraisal side, if there's like real estate, like if the couple owned a home together, for example, they're going to want to, you know, see what the value of the home is, because in most cases, that's the biggest asset for individuals. And when you're talking about going through a divorce, you know, Florida is an equitable distribution state. So it's 50-50 typically of, you know, during the marriage, what you acquired for your assets, including your home. So if the home was purchased during marriage, typically it could be divided 50-50, but there are always exceptions. And, you know, when emotions are high, a lot of other factors can come into play, and it's called equitable distribution, not exactly equal distribution sometimes. So other things such as, you want to ask a question?
No, that's good. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was equal versus equitable. I did not know that. That was very good. That was good. I'm glad I learned that.
Yes. So it's not what's always equal. It's what's fair. What's reasonable. So we can go into a long conversation about that. But there are all other alternatives, though, opposed to just filing in court. You can handle everything outside of court. There's one process called the collaborative law process that's newer in Florida, where you can handle all of your affairs, whether it's a divorce, a paternity action, or any other family legal issue outside of court. Nothing is filed until you have completely resolved everything. You work with a team of professionals. And at the end of the day, what needs to be filed, will be filed, but a lot of things are kept private. So that's one of the other alternatives. Yeah.
All right. And so I have another question, a follow-up one. So let's just say both couples agree that the house is worth, let's just say $500,000. Maybe they had an appraisal, maybe not. Maybe they just both agreed to $500,000. Or even if it was a
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What is the, if one party's buying the other out, is it 250 or do they say, hey, if I have to sell the house, it's going to be 6% minus closing costs. Do they say, okay, I'll give you 200 maybe to the other side. Is that how your clients negotiate? How does that usually work? Because I've been curious about that different mm-hmm. cases.
Yeah, that could be a way that negotiations are discussed. Another thing that oftentimes comes up is if someone, you know, one of the spouses was paying the mortgage and the other was not, or the other caused a lot of debt to the house. Okay, let's look into the numbers. Okay, the house could be valued at $500,000, but in a scenario like that, it may not be split 250-250. Like how did one of the spouses dissipate? Like, what was the value to that? Was it $50,000 that they caused, you know, more debt or more damage to? So you would consider that in addition to the other aspects, the closing costs and et cetera.
I see. That go into. So that's the equitable part. That's what the equitable part is. Yeah. And that equitable. Interesting.
Yes.
I'm glad you told mm-hmm. me that difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you got for me? Yeah. Any questions?
Yes. So this Brews and Appraisal Views, your podcast in and of itself, how did that come about?
The side business, the appraisal referral network that I work on, I need to target more appraisers and getting the word out to them. I'm on social media, email campaigns, and this is just was a natural step to, you know, getting the brand out there and getting more awareness for that company I'm trying to start or trying to get rolling. So that's where the podcast was born from, and we'll see where it takes us. Hopefully it gets some exposure in the appraisal side and we get more members on the website, and it's just another avenue. And plus I do an elite, I have an elite membership on the website, and later on we'll close out the podcast and we'll do a little elite section where some questions just for elite members who pay monthly on the website have content that's in addition to this free podcast. So it's basically just advertising. That's why I started the podcast. But at the end of the day, it's going to help me and you connect more and eventually lead to, you know, a better relationship between us and business between us, passing back and forth referrals. So that's a side benefit to the podcast.
Yeah. And as an appraiser, you've dealt with divorce attorneys, I'm sure, plenty of times, having over 20 years of experience in your industry. Can you give like that top story that stands out to you, where you worked with a family law attorney and you appraised a property for them and what the outcome was?
Every attorney is different. Everyone has their own little, you know, the way they'll reach out to me, the way they'll order an appraisal, the way in the back and forth I can have with them as well. Some attorneys are very like, almost like stiff and by the book. Others are super friendly and I can BS with them about the case and just have this like offhand discussion with them. But by far the attorneys that I work with, they're all like a similar They're all kind of like my personality, kind of, but they're all like chill. I'm the chill side. I don't like working with the ones that are like very contentious with everything, and they're required to win. They need to win this case. Those are the ones that always turns out bad for their clients and leads to longer cases. And they're always it's just long and drawn out. But the attorneys that take on a case actually want to settle it. Those are the ones I like working with. As far as stories go, it happens with their clients. The client stories are what happens at the appraisals is the best part. Like I've witnessed one spouse hit the other spouse at the appointment in front of me. I've had some sad situations where it's just like you need to be a therapist with the people and you just need to take your appraisal hat off. It's just different. Every situation is different. I've had a couple screaming at each other in a foreign language the entire time when I'm there. I've had people following around asking me questions. I've had people refuse to let me in the property and me have to like talk to them and let them know it's okay. I'm like a neutral. It doesn't really matter. The people are the most entertaining part of it are the clients of the attorneys. The attorneys just care. In my opinion, they just care about the number. That's all they care about. What the final number is. But if I can make their life easier, I think that's why they hire me. They just recommend me and I take it from there. Basically. I think that's why they hire me. I just make their life easier and help the cases settle faster.
For sure. I say the earlier we could get someone in like you, when there's at least a house, at least, you know, the marital home, for example, the better. I'd like to err on the side of being more prepared than not prepared. I hate when, you know, there's mediation coming up and the cases where you can guide your client, but there are times where the client's like, I don't want to get the house appraised, but you need the house appraised, you know? So we can have some workable numbers at mediation. Because when I go to mediation, I like to make sure that we're going there to make sure we're signing on the dotted line. That's the point of mediation. In order to have that and have that outcome, you, in my opinion, shouldn't have an appraisal of the home to be able to have some good numbers for the value of the house.
Yeah, I always like when a client calls, even if they weren't referred by the attorney, I get a lot of calls from Google from, you know, divorce stuff. But I'm like, yeah, get an appraisal before mediation so you're not arguing, so you don't waste mediation. So the appraisal costs, you know, $500-$600. There you go. There's like an hour of mediation and then re-meet and then going back again or whatever. It's in my opinion, yeah. You might as well just to settle the case and move on with your life. So at least that's from my perspective. So when you hire an appraiser, what do you consider? Well, you don't hire your client when you recommend somebody to your clients, you just say like, hey, go find an appraiser or just recommend the appraisal and you let them take it from there. Do you ever recommend people? What's your office policy on recommending professionals to your clients?
Absolutely. I think personality is key, and knowing who your clients are, knowing their personalities. I try to pair who I'm referring to with that, because I'm sure you can relate as a professional. Your reputation is key, and you want to refer someone and not have it come back to haunt you, as they say. So you said it yourself, you're a chill person. I'm a pretty chill person. I think that your clients kind of gravitate to you. So 9 times out of 10, my clients are, you know, they're going through a hard time, but I think a lot of their values align with mine, just because of the nature of you attract who you, you know, put out there or what you put out there. But I look at that a lot and I pair based on personality.
Okay, that's a good policy.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you can go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question, but honestly, I forgot it.
That's okay. So maybe this is a good break for the sponsor of my podcast. So maybe this is a good break for that. So this episode is brought to you by the Appraisal Referral Network. It's your go-to platform for non-lender appraisal referrals. Whether you're an appraiser looking to expand your business, take on more private work, or need to refer a job beyond your coverage area or your expertise, referappraisals.com has you covered. It's where you can earn up to 12% referral fee while connecting clients with the best appraiser for their needs quickly and very efficiently. Join the Appraisal Referral Network today and grow your appraisal business the smart way. You can visit referappraisals.com to get started. So that's the podcast sponsor. That's what I was talking about earlier as my side business. So that's what I'm trying to get off the ground is that Appraisal Referral Network. So Awesome. Let's talk about collaboration.
Okay.
The referral network started. It was an idea earlier in the year to replicate basically my business. I have a lot of referral. I get a lot of calls on assignments I can't take on, and I refer it to colleagues. And before I was thought I could send out all those referrals and they would come back to me. But eventually nothing ever came back to me. Like I would refer out way more than I would get back. So I started asking my colleagues for a referral fee. And it was working out very well to other trusted appraisers, you know, in the county north of me, south of me, commercial work, stuff like that. I referred out to trusted colleagues and earn a referral fee. So I created this platform to offer that to other appraisers around the country where they can connect with other appraisers, refer business back and forth. The website has a referral form. You can send a referral to anybody in the country. And then there's a series of prompts where you can update the referral, name, set your own fee for it. And then at the end, the website charges 15% of the fee and up to 12% goes to the appraiser who referred it. And a portion, 3% goes to the website for like the paid version. The free version's different percentages, but it's a website for appraisers to pass business to each other because there's a big need for it and there's no centralized platform for it. So that was the idea behind it. It started June 1st. I launched it.
I think that's genius. And I actually remember the question I was going to ask you in regards to going to court. Have you ever been to court as an expert witness for a divorce case?
Yes. Probably a dozen times. So over the past, okay, you know, 5-10 years, a dozen times. But what I wanted to ask you is I have a trial date on Monday, Monday afternoon. So how many times have you been, how many times have you brought a case to trial?
Very rarely, because I'm sure you've heard this before, like over 95% of cases settle, right? And especially in family law, we're not what you would call trial attorneys per se. Although I have done a jury trial, like a breach of contract case, then the whole picking of a jury. I interned at the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office. So I have a lot of trial experience that most family law attorneys may not have. But we do what you call bench trials, as you are very familiar with, and we go in front of the judge and all of that. In my 10 years of experience, I would say I've been to trial probably 13 times.
Have you ever cross-examined
most of my cases?
I actually had an appraiser.
This was 3 years ago. Yeah, it was a trial, a 2-day trial, and I had an appraiser come to testify at the trial. So, but no, not cross-examined. I've never had that situation.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so my experience.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
But that is, I was very nervous the first couple of times because I didn't know what I'd be asked. And then I really figured out that I'm the smartest person in the room regarding appraisals. And when I figured that out, the questions that they ask are, the attorneys ask, are almost comical. They're just almost like just reading from the appraisal. Like, I know some aren't prepared whatsoever. They're like reading the report as they're sitting there and just asking questions which are not thoughtful, which are not, that are just like reiterating what's in the report and just some weird questions that they ask. But I've never been stumped yet. Maybe that's because maybe the family law side is maybe not experts in real estate law or real estate or something like that. But it's once I accepted the fact that I'm the smartest person in that room with regard to appraisals, let me make that clear. I don't think I'm the smartest person in the room, just regard to my profession. It made it a lot easier. And I like to work with the attorney, and I'll ask, they can, if they have questions, they'll run them by me beforehand. I'll let them know like, hey, we need to like dumb this down. So the judge doesn't want to hear about sale two and when it sold. And the judge, I don't think wants the details. They just want to know how you got your opinion of value and basically what steps you took, what your opinion was, what was the date of that value. And if they think you're qualified, then great. That's, I think, what they want to hear, something short and sweet, and move on to the next piece of evidence. That's the stance I take when I'm like answering their questions and, you know, kind of guide them what to ask. I'm like, no, don't ask that question. That seems really stupid. At least that's my experience. So how did you come up with your list of questions?
For the appraiser?
Yeah. When you brought in you hired him for your side.
Yeah.
And did you just run through?
So looking back, what I should have done was ask the expert, right? you know, what questions should I ask? You know, what would be key here? But I also think you said something that's really my style. I'm pretty short, sweet, to the point. Like, what point am I trying to make here? So one of the questions, you know, how did you come up with the valuation of this house? You know, what details went into you doing that and how many years of experience? I think I'm backtracking a little bit. I try to establish that they are an expert in their industry. So how many years of experience, you know, building that credibility with the court so the judge understands that this is the person that you need to listen to when it comes to this particular issue. And then, you know, talking about, you know, what is the value of the home? How did you come up with that value? And based off of that, you know, do you have any additional input that you would like the court to know? So very sweet, simple, to the point. It's based solely on the valuation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I think that the judge cares about. And so for appraisers, like when you're being qualified, if you've already been to that court before, they may ask you that if you've already been qualified as a witness. And if you are, it's like, boom, there's your questions are done. There's no more questions after that about, you know, your expertise, your what's on your CV and all that nonsense. That's like not needed anymore. If you've already been considered an expert in that county or that, you know, that situation. So it's usually just like the one question and then that's it sometimes once you've achieved that, at least that I found. At least with the questions about your competency. So, but each time gets easier. And Monday, it should be, I don't even know why I'm going on Monday. They had two appraisals done. One was at one mine was at like 390, and then the other was at like 400. It's like it's a waste of money for both sides, but I don't know. But I'm gonna get paid $300 an hour to drive down there, sit there, and then probably 4 hours of their client's time, $1,200 for what? Like, I don't know. That's the side I don't like. It's like I don't like wasting people's it's literally a waste of money. Like I don't like seeing that, especially for the clients that are spending so much money for the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the downside that I don't like.
Yeah. Well, keep me posted. I'd love to hear the outcome of that.
Yeah, and then I have one later this month too. The last Monday of the month. So it may settle before that. They usually do. I had two trials set a couple of weeks ago that I needed to go for on the same week, and both of them, one got delayed and then one settled. So whatever. That's challenging too, is fitting that into your schedule. Like planning that half day and then being like, oh no, you're not needed tomorrow, or got delayed, or whatever the case may be. That's the most irritating part about scheduling a trial. But it's, you have to do it. If you're going to do this type of work, you have to suck it up and know that that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. What's your best thing, or what are you most passionate about when you're doing your appraisal? What stands out the most? You're like, I really like doing this particular piece of my job.
Well, it's two things. Like when I go to the house and I meet with the person, seeing like how they live, what updates are in the home, not updates. It's like, that's the most interesting part, is seeing how people live, walking around their entire house and seeing just how they live and the differences between people going to different homes. That's a really cool part of it. But I like the analysis part. I enjoy analyzing a neighborhood and figuring out like, hey, buyers in this neighborhood will pay $50,000 for a pool, or, 10% more for a lake view. That's kind of like the cool part, figuring that stuff out. Writing up reports is like the worst part. Like, I hate doing that. I hate it. But those are the cool parts. So what are you most passionate about? Like, with working with your clients or each case?
I love talking to people. I love when someone comes through the door, they feel very not at ease, whether it's on the family law side or the estate planning side. And they walk out. For example, yesterday I had a couple, I won't go into detail, but they walked out of there and they were like, thank you. Like, I really like how you operate. They felt very at ease. I love being able to help families and help people in that sense, and just develop a rapport and get to know the person and why they, like, what their passions are, what their concerns are, if it's a divorce, what are their goals, really kind of delving into the nitty gritty of why they're here and having a conversation and being personable. I love that personable touch to lift people up. That's the best thing I like about what I do.
That's cool. How about like at the end of the case when it's done? Is it ever done? How about that? Is that a good part too?
That is a good part. And I typically have what you call an exit interview at the end, and it's literally 5-10 minutes to ask the person, hey, did you enjoy working with the firm? What can we change in the future, if anything? And kind of really hear and listen and get some feedback. And I love, because most of the time people are like, I'm just glad it's over, especially if it's a divorce and you helped me through a really difficult time. But I am moving forward and like putting this behind me. So I like the fact of like, it's done, the case has been resolved, and they can move forward with their lives and yeah, we don't have to. I don't like the circular motion of staying in the, you know, the pot mixing up, the fire getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, how can we dial this down? And at the end of the day, when someone tells me, you know, it was a tough, difficult journey, but I'm glad it's over and I feel more empowered to just move forward, I think that that's the best thing that you can ask for in this, you know, considering the circumstance, especially on a divorce matter.
Right. Cool. I like it. So do you want to talk about, you're passionate about collaborative divorce. Do you want to talk more about collaborative divorce, what it is, you know, and how it's different than like a traditional divorce? What is it? Collaborative.
Sure. It's not an adjective. That's one thing. Even though you can use it as an adjective if you want.
let's collaborate and get divorced.
And it's not a whole bunch of people, including the attorneys, sitting, you know, next to each other, holding hands, singing Kumbaya. It's not that either. It's actually very, very difficult because, again, in most cases, you're dealing with people who are going through a divorce or parents who aren't seeing eye to eye. And you have to, as the attorney, help them on the legal side of things. But what I could say about collaborative law and collaborative divorce, it's been around since 1990. And it was founded by Woody Mostyn on the West Coast, I believe in Minnesota. And it's actually a statute in Florida. It was created a statute in 2017. So it's newer. It was in California for some time before. And there was actually recently an administrative order that the Broward County chief judge signed recently to make it an administrative order as well. And what collaborative process.
Hold on, go back. What's an administrative order? I don't think appraisers may know what an administrative order is. What is that?
Sure. So it's pretty much this one page, or it could be one page, it could be five pages, that outlines this is something that we're going to adopt in this jurisdiction. And so in Broward County, they're adopting the collaborative process, putting, you know, a stamp of approval on it, and saying that if you have two individuals who are going through a divorce and want to go through it, you know, in a collaborative law process, they can do it. They can file that administrative order, and all of the judges in the family law division have to abide by it, and everything is resolved outside of court. In order to qualify, you have one attorney representing one spouse, you have another attorney representing the other spouse, and we enter into a participation agreement. It outlines the do's and don'ts. We're going to be open and honest. Transparency is key to it. It's a confidential, private process. And I think that that's something that a lot of people gravitate to because it's, you know, a very tough time. And like a lot of times people don't want all of their finances out there. They don't want all of their dirty laundry, as they say, to be aired in public. There is a provision in the participation agreement that says in the event the process were to break down for whatever reason, that the spouses would have to fire their attorneys and take whatever issues that aren't resolved, take it to court. But in my years of having the collaborative cases that I've had, it's very, the percentage even, there's like a survey that goes out to really kind of keep track of how many cases end in full resolution.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
and it's over 85% of cases end in full resolution. And I equate that to when you are committed to the process, you're committed to the process, and you're committed to not taking anything to court at whatever cost. It's not easy. I've had collaborative cases where there's domestic violence involved, safety concerns involving the children, alcoholism, other things, and the spouses aren't seeing eye to eye, but you're working with a team of professionals that are like-minded. We're more resolution focused, you know, making negotiations, working together as a team. You bring on other professionals as needed, whether it's a neutral facilitator who typically has a mental health background and they can really help, you know, with the emotions and moving everything in a positive direction, or a forensic accountant coming on board, and that forensic accountant is neutral. So you don't have to have one spouse hiring a forensic accountant, another spouse, hiring another, and they're battling it out. It ends up being a lot less costly, and everyone is working together. All of the professionals, and we as the professionals help the spouses also get to a point where they may not see eye to eye on everything, but they're at a point where they can work through difficult issues and we get things resolved. And at the end of the day, there are only certain documents that need to be filed, not any, we can waive financials. So that doesn't need to be filed and it's done. The shortest amount of time I've had a collaborative case was 30 days. And the longest case I had was 8 months. And that case had everything in the kitchen sink thrown at it. And it could have easily lasted for 3 years if we were to, you know, would have gone to court. So it is, it's not mediation either. A lot of times people get it confused for mediation. I am a certified mediator, but when I'm mediating, I'm neutral and I'm not representing anybody. I'm not giving legal advice. So this allows me to put on my attorney's hat and stay in my lane and provide legal advice and advocate for my client, but just doing it in a more resolution focused, holistic way.
So I thought, before you said all that, I kind of thought it was like an easier way to get divorced. Like both parties were in agreements on a lot of things and it was the easier way to get divorced. That's what I kind of thought. It was like, all right, let's go this collaborative route. It'll be a little easier. So that's what I kind of thought collaborative. That's what I kind of thought it was. I've done appraisals for, I've been brought on for appraisals for during collaboration of these cases. And just the one appraiser is brought on. It's not another appraiser. And I guess they both agree to use the one appraiser. So I kind of do like that. But it also, for an appraiser, it's more liability. Like if you screw up, you have a bigger chance of getting sued if you screw something up during that one because you're the only one hired. So there is that side of it. But thanks for saying it. Thanks for going and expanding that about the collaborative law. Is it just in Florida or is it around the country? Is it in different in different states? Do you know how it is around the country?
Yeah, so it tends to be a little bit different. It's not in every state. I do know that Georgia does not have a statute officially. Neither does New York, although New York, they have collaborative professionals and they have attorneys that are, or professionals in general, who are collaboratively trained. And there's a whole group, even in Florida, there's a statewide Florida Academy of Collaborative Professionals. They have different local chapters. It's even internationally. So there's the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals. It is in California. There's a statute there. And some states throughout the U.S. and internationally, but it is not in every state.
Got it. So any specific advice for real estate appraisers who get involved, who get brought on during one of these collaboration cases, anything they should know? Should they approach it differently? Like any advice for appraisers brought on?
I think it's good to at least connect with the collaborative community, wherever you are, if there is a community there, you don't have to become a member, but they have different trainings, they have different social events, and kind of get in the know with the professionals in the collaborative community to kind of gain an understanding of how it works. But I would say, based on what you're telling me and how you operate and my experience with dealing with appraisers in the past, is your role is really neutral. It's our, like, if it's a litigated case, I think it's the attorneys that make it worse. And they're like, we don't like that number, we're going to bring another appraisal. But really, your focus is, you know, the number is the number. And that's it. So I think by nature and what you do, it's neutral. And it really holds itself out to working with collaborative professionals. I think it would be a great fit for appraisers to look into and have, you know, that as another stream of income, because I think it will make your life a lot easier too, because you're dealing with professionals who are like amicable and working together. I mean, not necessarily the spouses all the time, but, you know, you have a team that really has each other's best interest at heart. So it's really different. Yeah.
Well, yeah, as appraisers, we're required to be independent, impartial, and objective, no matter what. That's our requirements. So it's kind of like, it does fit in well with the collaborative process, because you have to be a neutral, and appraisers already are neutral. But yeah, about the neutral and staying neutral, both parties are still trying to sway you. They one who's buying the other one out, is it's like the best house in the world if they want bought out by the one spouse. If the other one is the flip reverse, it's like the worst house in creation. Like, let me point out every single thing that's wrong with this house. And it's like so obvious, like, what's going on here. But they both, even though maybe neutral, everybody's always trying to sway you one way or the other. And you need to weed through that and figure out what the truth is from these people.
That's true. Right. Have you heard of the orange scenario or the orange analogy?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
So it's like this. If you have an orange, right, you could have both spouses saying, I want the orange. But one could want the outside to make an orange pie with it. The other can want the inside because they want orange juice. So I think that part of the collaborative process is also untangling and unraveling that. It's funny because it made me think of that when you were talking about the buyout scenario. Oftentimes they're like focused on a particular thing, like, you know, not seeing eye to eye, but their interests may be a bit different. And I think the collaborative law process allows for that to come out a little bit better, a little bit more, because of how you're approaching the process, opposed to, you know, going to court and you're fighting, you're battling it out. You're just focusing on the position. They both want the orange, you know, but really delving into why do they want the orange could be different reasons. And both of them could get the orange, you know, depending on the, you know, circumstance.
Right. That's good. I like it. So do you have any more questions for me? Do you have anything else you want to talk about with the divorce process? If not, I'll close it out and we can go into some elite content for the elite members of the referral network. But let me know. Shoot. What do you got?
I have a question in regards to, you mentioned that you've been brought in on collaborative cases before. How does someone retain you or, you know, connect with you to bring you in to the process? What has been your experience with that?
A call or an email, like, hey, Dan, we've both agreed to use you as the appraiser. You know, are you willing to take on this case? And if so, what's your fee or whatever the case may be? But it's as simple as that, a call or an email. And then basically I take it from there. I connect with both the clients, you know, arrange the schedule, have them execute the engagement letter, collect the fee directly from them, don't involve the attorney. Then when it's complete, send all parties at the same time. So they all get that appraisal evidence at the same time. But it's very simple. I feel like I take the burden off the attorney getting in the mix of it sometimes, with having them as the client, sending them the engagement letter, and then payment from the client, maybe it's from the attorney's office. So I kind of like to deal directly with the clients, and I just take the burden off the attorney, I feel. I feel works the best for me, at least.
Have you ever had a scenario in a collaborative setting where the attorneys get the value and there's a disagreement?
I can't say that I have. I can't recall a scenario like that. Maybe a call from one of the spouses saying like, oh no, it should be higher or something like, or they don't like the value. But as soon as you explain like, you know, how you got your number to them, that's usually it. Like it's, you know, I don't make market value. The market determines the value. I just am reporting what the market is saying. I would say no. Like I haven't had one attorney be like, no, we disagree with this value in a collaborative case. Like other times, sure. That's what they hire their own appraiser, a different appraiser. And that's okay. Like everybody's different, has their different opinions. But so collaborative, I've had no problem. I've been brought on collaborative cases by the forensic accountant. I've had the attorney bring me on. That's how I've been introduced to the collaborative process. All right. So everybody who's tuned in, thank you very much. This has been a joint podcast with The Bruise and Appraisal Views and Civility Wins, the Family Law Edition podcast. We both hope you found value in the podcast. And a call to action today may be for appraisers. Hey, get out there. Go meet family law attorneys. It's an excellent source of private work and private business. There's nothing to be afraid of with attorneys. You know, just go out there, put yourself out there and introduce yourself and see where it takes you and develop a new relationship and help their clients out. And on your end, do you want clients to find you? What do you want them to learn more about you or the collaborative process? What do you want from today's podcast, your audience to hear?
Sure. I would just say if you want to learn more about the collaborative law process or you have questions about divorce or estate planning in general, I'm always an email away, Kristen@kwglaw.net. That's kristen@kwglaw.net. You could also go to my website, which is www.kwglaw.net. You could find me on LinkedIn, Kristen Goss, G-O-S-S as in Sam, or Instagram, KWG Law, or Facebook, KWG Family Legal and Mediation Services. I also have a podcast with KWG. So. And how about you? We have Bruise and Appraisals and
you can find us on all the platforms. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Appraisal Referral Network. You can send me an email, dan@empireappraisalgroup.com. Always reach out to me. Office number is 561-441-9298. That side of my appraisal business is Empire Appraisal Group for the appraisals I perform. But I'm out there. You can find me if you need me. All right. So that's it. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And next episode, you'll hear from us. Thank you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.